By what authority did Jesus do all those things and still does all these things? We, of course, know the answer to that question. Anyone who believes John the Baptist, anyone who believes the Virgin Mother who introduced Jesus to John the Baptist at the visitation, people ask, but how did John the Baptist come to know Jesus? He was always way out there in the desert. Jesus was up in Nazareth. And the answer is, before he was born, our Lady brought him. Precisely in order to introduce him to Jesus, so that he might be sanctified in his mother's womb, that he might be, as it were, the instrument for his mother, St. Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, who then confessed the divine maternity. If you believe that Mary is the mother of God, that's because you believe that little baby, still in her womb, is God, the Creator, become our Savior. So we have here, as it were, a first introduction to the question of authority. By what right? By what power? By the power of God, because I am God. That is the answer. And that is the question which for 3 years during the public ministry was constantly being discussed. The crowd of the people were spontaneously drawn to Jesus and were a bit on the critical side of the hoity-toity, the priests and the scribes, the lawyers, the theologians, the Pharisees. And they were enthusiastic. See how he teaches with authority. Just like Moses. But the authority seems to be even greater. Is he the prophet? That is more than a prophet because he is God. Is he the servant of God? Who is more than a servant, Moses, because he is God? St. Paul explains this in the first chapters of the letter to the Hebrews, but we return to the polemic. Why did our Lord choose on this Monday of Holy Week not to answer the question? Because he wanted to hide the fact? Because he was afraid? No. Because the people who asked the question knew what his answer was going to be. They knew perfectly well what he claimed to be because indeed he was and is a divine person. He did not cease to be in becoming one of us. This is the marvelous thing, that a man pre-exists his existence. It's only one case. That's the man who is God. He didn't cease to be God. He was God from all eternity, but at a certain point of time, became man. And that was the great scandal. He didn't have a PhD or several PhDs behind his name. He didn't come, as it were, from the ruling classes. He wasn't winning big elections with lots of physical, political, police, military oomph. The usual type of glory that the Romans gloried in. If you can believe any of the pictures that have survived of the triumphal entry of a Roman general into the city of Rome, from the Via Appia to the Via Triumphalis, and finally there in the Roman Forum, if you will see now at the entryway, the Arch of Titus, with all the images of the things that were taken from the temple before it was destroyed. Here at the end, our Lord is simply answering those who had no business putting God on trial. That's all. They wanted him. He was only a man. And if he claimed to be God, why, they would execute him on the spot. But it wasn't yet the moment. So he simply said, well, if you answer my question, I'll answer your question. Fair enough. In those circumstances, eminently fair. And so the question is, what do you think of John's baptism? Heavenly or just a pious fraud? Well, that was a little hard one, because if he said, as they admitted, St. Mark was perhaps around at that time and could, as were, record, as were, in his memory anyway. If we say it's heavenly, then the answer will come back, okay, how come you didn't believe John? What does believing John mean? Not that John is divine, but the one whom he is to point out, the last of the prophets, because he is the one who points out the fulfillment of all prophecy. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. He who comes after me, chronologically, yes. But he who is before me, always, from all eternity, without change. Pre-existence, get pretty close to that metaphysical word here in the scriptures, according to St. John the Baptist. I am not worthy to loose the sandal of his foot. And yet Jesus asked John to baptize him to fulfill all justice, to bring to pass the justice of God, which is the mercy of God. His justice is not like our justice. It is true justice. But there is no self-interest, no taking advantage, no manipulating the law in order to get the best place or the most credit, otherwise known as money. We can add many other reflections here, but and if we say it is from man, then the crowd is going to lynch us, because they weren't in a very good mood in regard to those who were questioning Jesus. But we are reminded of somebody else at the beginning of the public ministry, immediately after the baptism of our Lord, and perhaps after the wedding feast at Cana. He went out into the desert, 40 days and 40 nights, strict fast, bread and water only. And then guess who came to tempt him? The Holy Father, in his first volume of Jesus of Nazareth, has a beautiful chapter on the temptations of Jesus. And he makes some interesting comments, especially about German scholars, the way they interpret the Bible so often. Why, he said, they've got their master. Satan knows how to read the bright text to make you feel like a fool. But he's all wrong. But Jesus is a better exegete. For each of the chapters, verses quoted by Satan, for each of the three temptations, Jesus had exactly the right, that draws the veil away from the hidden major, the hidden premise. When you see how wrong that is, you know you're dealing with a first-class liar. We fail to realize, as the Holy Father points out elsewhere in his writings, mere logic isn't enough. Satan, the tempter, can be very logical. He is with every temptation. There's a trick question involved, something to distract us from what is really being said. Oh, go ahead, take a taste of the apple. If you don't like it, spit it out. But you be boss. And you won't die, don't worry. That, of course, is the first-class lie. But once, as it were, someone is sucked in by a con act, you don't notice when the big lie is simply dropped. So, too, the presumption of Satan to test God, only a creature, same sin of those who wanted to test Jesus, to catch him in something that would enable them to get rid of him, culturally, spiritually, and physically. We know, of course, it didn't work when they actually tried it. He did die on the cross, and then right on schedule, he rose again. Dear brothers and sisters, we should recognize here authority, divine authority, the only genuine authority, should never be feared. Even when God chastises us, it's only to urge us to behave ourselves, to appreciate what a great blessing it is to know his will, to know how to carry it out. That's all the Ten Commandments are about. And are they all that difficult? try living without them someday. Especially number 7, which will never be decriminalized. But the Chesterton remarked that the reason is all the thieves, as it were, want to be sure nobody pinches their pocket after they've got all the wealth, all the gold in Fort Knox in their cellars. We want to recognize how important it is to reveal the real power of God. It's not naked power. It's not blind, arrogant, arbitrary, tyrannical power. It is wise. In the interests of goodness. The Heavenly Father loves all of us. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to be a propitiation for our sins. That is by our good example, that is by our, you might say, friendly preaching explanation, bring others to recognize what a stupendous privilege it is, not only to know the will of God, but to commit oneself to doing it. That it is really not a bad thing to be obliged. Noblesse oblige, much obliged, above all, for the love that the Lord has had for us first. It's not that I love God first and now He's loving me because He owes me something. Rather, He loved me when I was not lovable. And that's why I want to be like that one leper who went back to give thanks. To give Him thanks for all that He has done to save me, to save everyone, to save the human family. And to thank Him especially for having given us His mother to be ours, to care for us so that we do remain truly His loving, adoring servants, those whom He has called His friends, for whom He has prepared that stupendous place in heaven, with a place especially at the banquet with the Heavenly Father has prepared, of which we have a foretaste in this stupendous sacrament. Who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will not die. I will raise him up on the last day. Praise be Jesus and Mary.